song the Lord just laid on my heart, A Very Special Grace. Wife been wanting me to sing this song forever. Amen. I hope it's a blessing to you. When my life is tested by some bitter trials, oh, and the tempter tries to tempt me in life away, oh, when darkness should pour across my journey, that's when Jesus gives a very special grace, a very special grace in times of trouble, a very special grace to see me through, a very special grace to ease the heartaches. Now Jesus wants to give this special grace to you. Now I know that I was never, never worthy. My sins demanded I be punished too. And I know Jesus took my place on Calvary, and that his special grace is there to see me through. A very special grace in times of trouble, a very special grace to see me through, a very special grace to ease the heartaches. Now Jesus wants to give this special grace to you. Jesus wants to give this special grace to you.
In this place, Abba Father, you are worthy of all praise. You are lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are worthy. You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Oh, yes, worthy. You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you. Oh, yes, you are worthy. Lord, you're worthy. King of kings and Lord of lords, you are worthy.
Sing it now.
Worthy.
You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
How many feels like he is worthy? He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of everything we can offer him, everything that we are, everything we can be or have. He's worthy of our praise. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we can be in this place together. And that knowing that you are here right now in the form of the Holy Spirit walking in our midst, touching our lives, transforming us from the inside out. Knowing that you are taking care of every issue, every problem, every situation. We give it all to you and we ask you to bless us now in this time that we can approach you and expect something amazing to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many has your Bible with you? Praise the Lord. How many believes this is the message of the hour? Hallelujah. How many believes everything in this book? That you can be, have, and do everything that this book says that you can. Amen. You believe it? Amen. It's just waiting for somebody to step out and do it. So let it be us. Why not? Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Good to be back in God's house with the people of God. Amen. And so happy to know that he has people everywhere. Amen. All around the world, his children are waiting on him like the little chicks, little birds in the nest waiting to be fed. Amen. Just waiting for him. Can't do anything. We're depending on him. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, I believe. Did I do this right? Yes. All right. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You may be seated. May God bless his word. How many would like to know what the will of God is for your life? Well, I can tell you right now, I got a good starting place. Because in Christ, God's will for you is that you're thankful for everything. There was, I heard this story, there was two sons of a family, and they were, the youngest one was a Bible-believing Christian, just like his mom and dad, and the oldest one was a rebel. He was just out, living out in the world, and it was so rough that their oldest son was living such a hard life. They thought they raised him right, and the youngest one was just doing loving God with all his heart and Bible studies and everything like that. And they were struggling. And finally it came to them. God just gave them a revelation of this scripture that they needed to stop crying out to God and begging God to change them, change their son and change the situations. And instead just start thanking God. And they started to praise and thank God for everything. And as soon as they did, because all the time they've been praying, nothing happened. Now when they started praising and thanking God, and they didn't do it to try to get a different result. They weren't trying methods on God. They just realized they're not that smart. How do we know how to pray? How do I know what's the best thing for our son? This is a burden we all carry with us, and God patiently waits for us to come to him and lay down our burdens. And he will give us rest. But we're never resting. We're always trying, you know, to God, it's competition to him. Because you're trying to be God in your own life. And he's a gentleman, so he just goes like this. Come to me when you're ready. Just let me know when you're done. As soon as you're done, we can work. But we think we have to do something good enough or fix things or solve problems, and it's all on our shoulders, and we come so weighted down. And God is standing here saying, do you not know who I am? Did you not get the memo? Is God sovereign? We believe God's sovereign. We all talk about it. We all sing. He's got it all in control, except for what I control. Don't forget the little clause there. He's got it all in control, except for what I control. And that's a fact. God has everything in control except for what you control. How would you like to just let him take that too? Now, ever have a plumbing problem in your home or electrical problem with your car? You ever have an issue with your vehicle? And you bring it to a shop? Now, I'm the kind of guy that I go to the shop and I like to stand there watching the guy working on it. Because I ain't getting ripped off. But the point is it's crazy for me to say, hold on a minute, what are you doing? Let me do that. You did that wrong. Why would I do that? Why would I jump? If I jumped in, I'd mess up the electrician's work, the plumber's work. My car would be driving worse than ever. Just let the professional do it. That's why you hired him. That's why you're paying good money. Let him do it. You're saving yourself a lot of headaches. But see, the motive of this mom and dad was not, if we change the way we do things, maybe we'll get different results. They weren't thinking about the results. They were simply coming to a revelation that, why are we trying to be in charge of this? The Bible very clearly says we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. Our prayers is just trying to figure out, when you start praying, Brother Mark, all you're doing is you're trying to get to the place where the Holy Spirit can start praying. Because then it's effective. The effective, fervent prayer gets you in a place where the Holy Spirit can take over and the rest will be history. See, and that's what they did. And, well, it turned out that he had a bike accident. He was riding his motorcycle, and he hurt his foot really bad. He was in bad shape. So he finally asked Mom and Dad if he could move home. And they said, sure, come on home. And he came home, and he's living at home with his bad foot. And he said, I hate to tell you this, but I got a trail of debts. And they started thanking and praising God for the debts. They were thanking and praising God for his life. I know this is shocking you, but it's like, this is such an eye-opener, really. We don't thank God for the bad because we're not supposed to. We're supposed to try to solve the bad because we're superheroes in the faith. No, we're just supposed to thank God that he knows what he's doing. No bad thing is happening in your life or in your family's life that isn't somehow God in it. Unless he's not sovereign. We got to really get to go back and study the word sovereign, I guess. But, you know, honestly, God knows what he's doing. And so they started just praising God and trusting God and putting it all in his hands and believing on him. And then his son gave them the list and they started praising God and they felt in their heart to go pay him all. So they paid everything off. And the son couldn't believe it. He says, I can't believe, Mom and Dad. Why are you doing that? Because he said, I thought you guys were going to be getting on my case. And why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And he says, instead, you're just happy. You're accepting me. He couldn't figure out what was going on. But it was softening his heart. Now, his younger brother had a Bible study with all his friends. They all came over. They started talking testimonies and what God is doing and how excited they were and how wonderful the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Amen. Hallelujah. They were all excited. And he just started seething and ridiculing and telling them, you guys are unrealistic. You Christians, you're not even in reality. You live in another world. You live in la-la land. You know, he's making fun of them. And they just kept on talking about how good God is. Then after a while, he kind of calmed down and he started changing from ridicule questions to questions. He started getting curious. He started wondering. By the end of the night, he accepted the Lord Jesus into his life. And then he started studying the Word of God, and he became full-fledged serving God with all his might. Now, it had nothing to do with a method. It was simply the parents, the family decided, let God be in charge. Now, you can say it, but you've got to feel it. You've got to have the attitude, I'm not in charge anymore. That's up to him. The only thing you and I are in charge of is letting God be in charge. And it's amazing because it's not that hard. Sometimes, you know my wife Myrna, and she's a go-getter. She gets things done, and she'll be standing in a situation where there's other people around, and something happens, and a lot of people will look toward her. She's going to go and fix it. If any of you are that way, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Mark, you're in charge of business, and Brother Josh, you know, things like that. When something happens, everyone looks to the leader or somebody who is a go-getter, get things done. And I'm only saying that not because there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that as an example. That's how we need to be with our Lord. As soon as we hear bad news, we should immediately go lean on his bosom like John, the beloved disciple, shouldn't we? We just lean on his, okay, Lord, you got this. You're going to take care of this. Remember Job. Everything was wiped out in one day. In one short 12-hour period, he heard he lost everything. And he turned right to God. What a lesson to learn. But we, you know, we start dialing 911, 911, 915, 918, every other 911s we can come up with, when God is right there. And he is sovereign. In everything, give thanks. Be thankful. In everything, all things work together for the good, because God is working those things out in our lives. You believe that with all your heart? So I wanted to share that with you. And let's look at Philippians chapter 4. And this gives us a little bit more clarification. But it's really something that we all need to face. We live in a society, in a world, and I don't know, have the numbers right now, but the levels of nervous breakdowns and things going on in this world that we live in, and especially in America, is this real sign that people are not doing this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Christians are not doing this. Be anxious for nothing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anxiety. Anxiety can be an actual chemical imbalance in your body. Now, whether anxiousness brought that on or not, nobody really knows. They know stuff brings it on. And we also know God is a sovereign healer who can take it away. Amen? So we don't want to lose that side either. But pay attention to the idea that you control this. You're the one who controls, even if it's a quick reaction, controls being anxious. The scripture says, be anxious for nothing. There is nothing to be anxious about. I'm preaching to the choir. I know. There's nothing. I'm stepping on my own toes. There's nothing to be anxious about. I struggle with this so much. And it's, you guys think, oh, Brother Elijah, he's laid back and everything. You don't understand. Under the current, it's just a constant, how's this going to work out? Is everything going to collapse? What's going to happen next? And God is just dealing with me saying, when are you going to let go and let me do this? Anything he sends our way, good, bad, or ugly, is all for something important for us. See, that's impossible. No, there's no promise in this book that we live by that says your life, once you're a Christian, is going to be smooth sailing, honey. You're going to sail right into the sunset with Jesus. Not going to happen. We're going to have just as many trials as the world has, common to every man. We're going to have trials, temptations, troubles, struggles. We're going to go through things. But God has purpose that he's doing it in our life. He's got purpose. In fact, God's in charge of everybody's lives. So watch carefully the rest of this, because it's really powerful. Because you might say, well, if I'm not going to be anxious, Brother Elijah, then I have nothing to do. I'm going to be bored. Yeah, that's true, right? That's for some of us. That's true. But watch what he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's it. Say, Lord, I'm expecting the best for my son. I'm expecting the best for my daughter, my wife, my husband, my family. I'm asking you to bless them. You know, sometimes we're trying to be so specific and we pray, oh God, you know, that person's in trouble. Please help them. Sometimes we just need to pray more generically. Lord, you know what you're doing in their life. Be sovereign. Help them. Speak to them. Bring them to the next place they need to be. Help them become the most they can be in you. There's more power in that. Amen? And I see that so many times that people are trying to be so down to the detail. And I know we're taught that. You know, you're supposed to make a list, be detailed. Sometimes you don't have to be detailed. I mean, how does anyone explain what was going to happen next after God said, let there be light? Right? There was not a whole, he didn't say, let the earth spin this way closer to the sun and the sun move this way. And he didn't have to say that. He just expressed a general, I need light. Like a guy working on the car, right? Hey, I need light. You know, the son just knows what to do. He grabs something, he sticks the light over there, and it works. I need light. I need light. So if we would be more that way, know God is sovereign. Know that he knows the very needs of your heart. He knows exactly what you need. Do you believe that? Look, I want to read a scripture for you, another one here. Psalm 37 is really powerful here. And let me just find the, I think it's verse 9. Nope. Psalm 37. You read the whole thing. It's great. Somehow I misplaced it, but I'm going to tell you what it says to the, sort of paraphrase it for you. But basically in Psalm 37, it has something to the effect of praise God, for this is a delight unto him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And it's said that way, not that you would do it for the desires of your heart, but it's said that way so you would realize once you start delighting God with your attitude, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, O Lord. Once we get there, the rest of it just happens. We're not in charge anymore. So many stories and people I know who, once they changed the way they were dealing with stuff and let God be in control, everything just started working out. And it seemed like a miracle. But it was simply God is a miracle-working God. He's powerful. He's sovereign. He's in control. He has it all in his hands. Praise the Lord. And so I want to make sure that you understand that we are dealing with a supernatural, super powerful God. Hallelujah. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So why do we worry? Why do we struggle with events and different triggers, right? There's triggers in our life. Some of us worry about some things that someone else doesn't even care about. Right, Brother Roger? It's true. Like some people will skip a gas station, go to the next gas station. Oh, the price is too high. And then 2 cents cheaper. Oh, I got the cheapest gas. And you put 10 gallons in and you just saved a whole whopping 20 cents. Cost you 40 cents to get to that gas station. I only say Brother Roger because he told me, I don't really care. If I see a gas station, I just get the gas. I need the gas. I don't really care about the price. So the point is that some of us stress over some things and other people don't even care about that. And then another person's over there stressing and you're saying, well, why are you worried about that? When what we must do, saints, this must become a foundational revelation in our hearts ever since the day you got saved and born again and came to the Lord Jesus Christ, is he is in control. I did not decide on a certain day I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. You stumbled on it. But he had it on his calendar. On a certain day, I'm going to you know, come to Christ. On a certain day, I'm going to serve the Lord. You didn't decide that. That came to you. Hallelujah. If you decided it, then you're still making decisions. You can't decide on a certain day, I'm going to make the Lord sovereign in my life. It doesn't work like that. He's sovereign. He decided that day. So what made us, as Paul said, you started out so well, what now has hindered you? So what has made us give up the understanding and the freedom of letting God be in control? In him we breathe and move and have our being. What changed from that to where now we control God a little bit? We kind of have him in us, which is some, there's truth to that. But what makes it where you think just by having God in you, you control him? Listen, he's a live wire. He is a fire. He'll consume you so fast. You cannot control him. The reason he's in you is to control you. God doesn't need to be controlled. You and I do. We're the ones that get stressed out, worried, and do all kinds of crazy things and have strange thoughts. But why do we worry? Why do we let stuff trigger our anxiousness? See, right there. You're driving along and then your GPS conks out on you. And then you're stressed out. What do I do? Thanks, Brother Josh. I love having some partners working with me. This is great. And here's what it is, saints. The Bible is very clear about it. It's pride. I know it's hard to believe that. If you want to call it lack of humility, you can call it that if you like. But it's still pride. It's kind of like darkness and light. What's darkness? Lack of light. I don't want to call it darkness. Let's just call it lack of light. It's lack of humility. It says in 1 Peter 5, you want to know grace? 1 Peter 5:5. You can't forget that, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, hold on, give me one second here. I have these scriptures a little in different order. Okay, there it is. Yep. So likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. This is what I want you to get to. He's quoting scripture. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. How many wants grace? You know, it's either God is resisting or he's giving grace. And even if you're a believer, as Peter is speaking to believers, believers can go around with a lack of submitting. And sometimes that's why God will allow something kind of bad to go on in our life so we can finally get humbled enough to say, I'm not in charge. Go ahead, Lord, you take over. Take over, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Because God resists pride, but he grants grace to those who are submitting, to those who are humble. Amen? And then this whole thought continues to verse 6. Therefore, after saying God resists the pride and gives grace to the humble, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, comma, casting, throwing all your worries upon him. For he, different word than the word care there, cast all your care is one word, for he cares for you is a different word. In other words, he cares about you. He loves you. He's concerned for you. But you, being worried, are resisting him, so he's resisting you. Don't let him resist us. Let's throw all of our worries and stress on him. Like abandonment, just throw it on him. Trust Almighty God, take care of it. Well, Brother Elijah, you know, I made a lot of boo-boos and I'm paying for it, and that's what's going on in my life. I messed up, so that's why I'm paying for it. And you go around carrying that burden around like you have the right to balance out your life. Listen, saints, we're not that smart. We don't have this thing figured out. And you're not going to. Well, we're message believers. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make you any smarter than anybody else. You've got to think of what's important here. What you're doing, we're doing what a lot of Christians do, what a lot of people do. We somehow feel like God has control of everything generally, and we control everything on a small scale. You know, this is my little world I control. No, you don't. God is in control of the little blade of grass, the little flea flying around. God is in control of the little sparrow. God is in control of everything big and everything small, macro, micro. God is in control of all of it. Not you, not me. Hate to break it to you, but that's the truth. You're not in control of everything. He is. Amen? And what God is waiting for to happen is for us, all of us, to humble ourselves, accept his mighty hand in our lives, and let him do mighty things on our behalf, and let's stand back and behold the glory of the Lord. Let's do that. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. We're here to praise him. We're here to give him praise and honor for his sovereignty. You know, we believe God is sovereign, but we don't practice it. And so prayer and attitude and the atmosphere we create is all about how we practice it. Let's practice saying, I don't know about you, but I've got a big God in my life. If people come to you and ask you what the hope is that you carry around inside of you, you can say, my hope is capital H, Him. He is my help. He's my helper. He's everything I need. He's in my life. He takes care of me. I am not worried about a thing. Well, Brother Elijah, I'm in pain a lot. Thank God for it. What? I can't do that. That's the devil did that. Did the devil do it? Yeah, he did it. Did the devil do what he did to Job? Yeah, he did. What did Job do? He thanked God. He said, thank you, Lord, for giving, and thank you, Lord, for taking away. Thank God for it. My life's not in the right situation. It's messed up. Thank God for it. He's working something out. He is smarter than us. I hope you know that. He knows what he's doing. We can't figure it out. You don't need to figure it out. We need to thank God for it. I need to praise God more for everything. He knows what he's doing. God is sovereign, but we got to practice it. And we've got to put him in first place. And we've got to know that we can't sing these songs, he's got it all in control, or I surrender all, if we're not going to do it. Is that right? We've got to do it. You've got to wholeheartedly understand, believe, proclaim that God is sovereign and he's in control. And just let him take care of everything else. Can you do that? Just trust him for everything in your life. And keep yourself from thinking, if I do this, I'll get these results. Just believe me, you'll have something to testify of. But do not go with a motive, because it'll be fake. I hope it's a revelation to you. This same God who came to a sin-sick, dying world and died on the cross to take the place of you and me, he was acting sovereignly. And the disciples said, oh, the two men walking to Emmaus, haven't you heard? Are you a stranger? Don't you know what's going on? We thought this Jesus was going to be the one. We thought he was going to take over. We thought he was going to set everything straight and restore everything. And we had all these thoughts. And it didn't work out. It was working perfectly. Everything was exact. Do you realize that hundreds of scriptures unfolded and got fulfilled as Jesus was being rejected and murdered? Scriptures were happening. And he says, and this is his response to their mourning. You fools. You know, sometimes the Bible lets you say it. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe everything the prophets have said. They said it, I fulfilled it, and there it is right in front of you. And so, if you would join me, brothers and sisters, in realizing that there is going to be a rapture, there's going to be a resurrection, there's going to be a catching away to meet Jesus in the air, we're part of it, but you don't need to try and figure out how. We just need to enjoy the journey. We're going to get there. Just enjoy the journey and be thankful for the one who is the conductor of the whole entire train. Amen. Who's the one bringing us to the rapture? Who's the one bringing us home? Him. Not you. Him. Hallelujah. Everything you need is in you because he's in you. So I just thank God and praise him. And let's just worship him in everything. What if my boss starts cursing at me? Just say, thank you, Jesus. What if people at work start persecuting you? Well, Jesus said, leap for joy. How do you explain it any differently? If somebody starts persecuting you and you start jumping up and down saying, hallelujah! I don't know what that's going to do. Maybe they may want to submit or commit you. But it doesn't really matter. Notice what's happening. None of it is really landing on you. What if they throw you in jail? What if they throw you in prison for being a Christian? What if they throw you in prison for some reason like that? What should you do? just start singing. Nobody sings when they're in a bad spot. Yeah, they do. Start singing. Do you think Paul and Silas were singing, "Oh Lord, we know as we sing, you're going to break the prison down. Yes, we're so excited." They weren't thinking that. The details don't matter. Again, we're not that smart. Just start praising this amazing God who has you in prison. Nobody knew that the prison guy needed Jesus. And there was no better way to get Jesus to the prison guy than to throw Paul and Silas in jail. That was the best way. So many stories I have of people like our precious friend, Brother Richard Gioberti. You know, when he went and did some prison time, he ended up bringing people to Christ. They had miracles happening. Doors opened. Nobody knew why doors were flying open. People were singing and praising God. They had to move prisoners to a different wing because that wing, all the doors were open and they couldn't get them shut. And they had just studied about Paul and Silas. I mean, it caused so many to come to Christ. God used him in such a... And by the way, let's keep Brother Richard in prayer. Amen. And I want you to pray the way I'm talking about here, about a sovereign God who knows what he's doing. You know, because he's struggling with his neck and since that motorcycle accident. So I want you to be praying for him. Listen, pray for him the way the Bible says, with thanksgiving. I'm so excited to see what God is going to do. Aren't you? Amen. So let's just praise him and thank him for all that he does. And so finally, I'd like the musicians to come. I know it's just a bit of a short message this morning, but I want you to practice it. Put this into action right now. Amen. Put it in action today. How many will do that with me? How many will do that? We know he's God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. Let's just sing, "He's Got It All in Control." Amen. And would you stand with me as we sing it? Amen. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Reassurance way down in my soul, yeah. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Do you believe it? Tell him, "You, Lord, you've got it all in control. You put that reassurance way down in my soul." Amen. Got it all in control. Sing a verse. I put my life in your hand, Jesus. I put my life in your mighty hands. So every road I walk down, I know it's in your plan. I put my life in your hand. He's got it all, sing it. He's got it all in control. Mighty Jesus, he's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in your soul. Amen. He's got it all in control. Sing another verse. Amen. My Father knows what I need. Yes, he does. My Father knows just what I need. And everything I go through, he knows what's best for me. Heavenly Father knows what I need, and he's got it all. He's got it all in control. Amen. He's got it all. Let's just thank him. Let's praise him. Isn't he wonderful? He put that reassurance and it's way down in my soul. Amen. He's got it all. He holds the stars in his hands. He holds the land back from the sea. Yes, if he can do all of that, surely he can take good care of. He can take good care of you and you and you. Amen. He's got it all in control. Yes, you do, Jesus. Oh, you've got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. You've got it all. Sing it to him now. You've got it all in control. Sing to Jesus. You've got it all. Surrender it to him now. Yes, you do. You've got it all in control. You put that Holy Spirit way down in my soul. And you've got it all in control. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord. You've got our spiritual life in control. You've got it all in your mighty hands. Natural life, everything we are going through, every sickness, every trouble, every blessing, every wonder, every good thing, every bad, it's all you, Lord. You are sovereign, and we're thankful. And we praise you, Lord, for all these things work together for the good because we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. I surrender all. Since he has it all in control, shouldn't you just surrender all? Shouldn't you do that? Let's sing it from our hearts just before we're dismissed. All to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. Trust him. Trust him. In his presence. Let's sing. Amen. I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. One more verse. All to Jesus I surrender. Let's humbly bow. At his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Isn't he wonderful? Lord, be with us as we go, and may the Holy Spirit, just a simple thought today, may it be, sometimes that's what we need, Lord, and you know, we just need to hear a simple truth, a simple thought, and so many stories and so many testimonies come from those who just yield, submit to you, to your sovereignty. Just give it up to you. Let you be in charge. Let you be in control. Take over, Lord Jesus. Take over. Let us have a constant, never-ending attitude of thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my life. Thank you for the good, bad, everything, Lord. You know what you're doing. Thank you for everything. I know it's hard for people, Lord. They struggle with the idea to thank you for those bad things, but nothing can happen without your permitted will. Nothing can happen without your will. So for all things, we praise you and thank you. For it brings about the peaceable fruit and manifestations you're looking for. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.